Afterwards, the bodies were taken to Nellis Air Force Base at Las Vegas. The bodies are still there and periodically show signs of life, although there are no vital signs. Now, why do you suppose there is not further mention of this craft? It made the local news. Surely, as close to Area 51 as it was grounded, there would have been some inside information. Next, consider that on that same day a craft was down in Texas and was ASAP removed to a non-active Air Force base. This downing was brought out immediately and announced on KTRH, one of the major station channels in Houston, Texas. Why does this not get mentioned in such journals as Mr. Cooper's? This may well be why Mr. Cooper once left a message on Dahmer's answering machine that she was a slimy little puke. And further, he would bring all the legal charges he could find against her when he was actually mad as hell at George Green, who actually gave him good accolades for his writings. Now, of course, he is a major presenter in the UFO circles, so why not give all the information available, and why just the party line? Be very cautious, readers, study it all and then use your intelligence. Here one could ask oneself what the extraterrestrials want of us. Why do they not approach the leaders or president of a country? They did. And don't just one group of them. Already George Washington and Abraham Lincoln maintained to have been contacted by extraterrestrials. President Roosevelt apparently had a meeting with the occupants of a flying saucer arranged by Nikola Tesla during a Pacific cruise on the Pennsylvania in 1934. On the 4th of July 1945, President Truman is said to have had a personal encounter. 121, around the turn of the century, some Rothschild children claimed that their parents had met UFO nauts, but this was claimed by a few people only. Concrete proof exists, though, of a meeting by President Eisenhower. Michael Hesseman writes, in UFOs Die Contact, from the reports by the contactees we learn that since their massed appearance over Washington in the summer of 1952, the extraterrestrials had made contact with the U.S. government. Some contactees like George Van Tassel were also charged with sending special communiques to the president. At that time, after the election in autumn 1952, this was, from January 1953 onwards, General Dwight D. Eisenhower had already heard of Roswell, Aztec and Laredo UFO crashes during his service. After his election on November 18, 1952, he received a report by the Majestic 12 Committee that had been charged with the investigation of the retrieved UFO wrecks by his predecessor Truman. The committee recommended to the president strict secrecy for reasons of national security. The place where Eisenhower was to make contact was the Edwards, Muroc, Air Force Base in California. This had been the area for UFO demonstrations for months and years before. July 8, 1947, a large object with a tail of blue flames more than a kilometer long crossed Muroc at 17,000 meters. June 14, 1950, a Navy transport pilot and several civil pilots observed a cigar-shaped mothership 40 km east of Murdoch. August 10, 1950, Lieutenant Robert C. Wyckoff, physicist with the Navy, observed with the telescope a large disc-shaped object as it maneuvered near Edwards. September 30, 1952, air photographer Dick Beamer and two other witnesses observed two spherical, slightly flattened objects maneuvering over Edwards. On February 20, 1954, the time had come. This event has been confirmed by films and several witnesses, among them Gerald Light of the mighty media group CBS, the Earl of Clancy, member of the House of Lords, the former Secret Service man, William Cooper, Paul Solomon of the Air Force, and many others who at that time had been stationed at Edwards, Murdoch. Apparently on this day something happened that had all officers, including the commander, run to the observation tower. From there they saw a disc with a diameter between 60 and 100 meters that hovered directly above the runway. The object was observed for hours, literally until the last man on the base knew about it. The disc flew patterns that defied all laws of physics, up and down, from one side to the other, right angles, etc. Later there were five objects, three disc-shaped and two cigar-shaped. Eisenhower, who at that time was resting at Palm Springs, was fetched. The air base personnel and Eisenhower then watched as a small group of the occupants stepped out and came toward them. They looked like human beings, had about the same height, were blonde and spoke English. They offered help in the spiritual development of humanity. Their main condition was the destruction of all nuclear arms. They were not prepared to share their technology with us, since spiritually we were not even ready to deal responsibly with the technology we already had. They believed that we would use any new technology only to destroy each other. This race declared that we were on the way to self-destruction and that we had to stop killing each other, polluting the earth, exploiting the natural resources, and that we should live in harmony with creation. Most importantly, we had to understand and to learn to see ourselves as citizens of a planetary family, and that we were committed and should start behaving as members of that family. We would have to quickly let go of the idea that we could do as we pleased. Only then could we start to behave like citizens of a planetary system and start relations with them. They are part of the same family and should be treated accordingly, and that is also how we should see the people of our Earth. As soon as, 122, we would have learned to interact peacefully with other nations, we could start interplanetary relations. Relations. H. Now, might you guess this might just be the reason I am handled in files beyond top secret? Would you also wonder at a need to bury such as contact, the paper and voice? No, I, nor my compatriots do not write through, of, or for any such paper as Spectrum, although some of their crew as in Martin experienced the strange happening around our place of contact, as did George Green, who later took myself as his own private information resource. No, Sheila's, students, IT just doesn't work that way, and is why you are misguided and totally distract when the truth is under your nose. So be IT. This was met with skepticism, especially the demand for nuclear disarmament. One didn't believe that disarmament was in the interest of the US and feared to stand defenseless before the extraterrestrials. The offer was refused. The aliens then declared that they would continue to contact individuals until the humans were used to their presence. Then the extraterrestrials showed to the president, who stood paralyzed, and his entourage their authoritative technical possibilities. They showed the president their craft and proved that they could make themselves invisible. H. Well, this came along with trying to take us into custody. This made Eisenhower feel most uncomfortable, because although they knew that they were still there, they couldn't be seen. Then the aliens boarded their ships and took off. This landing was also confirmed by the U.S. astronaut Gordon Cooper, who recalls that during his service a film was shown that showed the landing of a UFO on a California Air Force base in the 50s. H. There is a lot to this stream of events with Gordon Cooper, but it shall no be covered again here. I do suggest, however, that anyone over the past 14 years with myself in this routing as here, had best, if you want truth, get caught up and stop the ongoing nonsense offers by the distractors. The whole story in detail, with answers to every why and how come, is found in Michael Hesseman's UFOs Die Bewise, The Proofs, and UFOs Die Contakeet, The Contacts. He painstakingly collected the data from more than 50 books, especially from the US, and he added many pictures of very good quality. UFOs Die Bewise contains the secret CIA documents that were released after 30 years due to the Freedom of Information Act. H.R. But what of the real ones that have never been released and can't even be accessed by your own president of the US? There were more contacts with governments, but one should read it all in one go to get an overview of the many facets of the subject of UFOs. There are also videos available that, among other things, show the landing in 1964 on the Hammond Air Force Base. They are listed in the further reading section at the end. H. No, this is not so as to the whole story. However, IT is WH why someone like George Green would now make his UFO rounds claiming to be the speaker for the aliens. BSWHO has the solutions to your first problems in recovery of your planet? Wonder WH why this is so top secret? My, when will you wake up and realize truth from lies? Oh, indeed, the truth is put before you along with the messengers, so promptly you kill the messengers and bury the truth. So BIT. Doesn't anyone notice that we write in Manila, Philippines these days? What happened when you fell prey to the takers? Oh well, as the saying goes. Now back to Kennedy. After he became president and was told about the retrieved UFOs and the secret projects that also contained the study of the survivors, he wanted to make this information public. Defense Secretary Forrestal, who was a majestic 12 member, had tried to do just that, too. And on May 22, 1949, he was thrown out of his hospital room window with a bedsheet tied around his neck. 123, Kennedy fared no better. He was murdered at Dallas on November 22, 1963. The first shot actually did come from the roof of the storehouse, but it was not lethal. The killing shot came from the driver of the president's limousine. CIA agent who shot Kennedy in the head with a special weapon developed by the CIA. If you look at the original film of the assassination in slow motion and watch the driver, then you can clearly see that he turns around with a gun in his hand, shoots, and the back of Kennedy's head bursts. The films shown in most Western countries have the driver cut out. On November 21, 1993, the German TV channel ARD sought in its program Spiegel TV in a ridiculous way to tell the viewers that there was no CIA involvement in the assassination. At almost the same time, RTL showed a program claiming the opposite. Apart from the differing commentaries, both programs showed the film only once full frame. Afterwards, the driver was again cut out. But in the full-frame version, the shooting driver and the gun were clearly visible to those who knew where to look. John Lear, the son of the founder and today owner of Lear Aircraft and once decorated as the best pilot of the U.S. Air Force, 17 world records, found three original films, for example in Japan, that he had computer analyzed and checked for authenticity. Both he and William Cooper, former member of Naval Intelligence and author of the book Behold the Pale Horse, today give lectures in the U.S., and they supply the original films, too, address in the list of literature. Because of this film, William Cooper lost one leg when the CIA tried to assassinate him. Japanese television later showed the original footage several times during the main news. The computer analysis also allowed to recognize the weapon as a special caliber developed by the CIA. The bullet, too, was a CIA special that only exploded after entering the body and thus annihilated Kennedy's brain. The assassination was prepared by the CIA members Orlando Bosch, E. Howard Hunt, Frank Sturgis and Jack Rubinstein, aka Jack Ruby, for whose collaboration the CIA paid his huge gambling debts. Lee Harvey Oswald had also been a CIA member, but at the time of the assassination he had been working for Jack Ruby. His death had been planned. Jack Ruby shot Oswald before he could prove his innocence. Thus they had a culprit who could no longer prove the truth. The CIA hated Kennedy. In its eyes he was responsible that neither the Vietnam, the Cuban or the UFO projects went the way the CIA wanted. When the news about Kennedy's death broke, writes a CIA operative who had also been involved in the Bay of Pigs operation, all the people in his department rose and applauded. Many of these facts has been uncovered during the special hearings by the Committee for Assassination, but according to U.S. security law they remain secret until 2029. After the hearings, the CIA was prohibited from undertaking any undercover operations within the U.S. It is hard to believe that they ever followed that order. All the witnesses of the conspiracy were either killed or died of fast-growing cancer that they had injected, the deadly marksman in the car 3 weeks after the deed, for example. The official story of the Kennedy assassination, according to the report by the Warren Commission, was that Lee Harvey Oswald had been the only person responsible, and it was printed 9 hours later in all newspapers of the U.S. The true story of the CIA Committee of 300 conspiracy was never told. For good reason. You see how good it is for the Illuminati to control the news agencies. And once again a whole nation is misinformed for decades until a brave researcher takes the trouble to dig deep. His brother, Robert F. Kennedy, who stood also in the way of the Illuminati, had to die on June 5, 1968, as he was about to win the presidential elections. In this case the single attacker was Sirhan Sirhan. He was under the influence of a drug that was developed by the CIA especially for cases like this. To be sure that Sirhan Sirhan was not going to miss, one of the bodyguards of Howard Hughes fired an extra bullet that later was found in the first shot actually did come from the roof of the storehouse, but it was not lethal. The killing shot came from the driver of the president's limousine. A CIA agent who shot Kennedy in the head with a special weapon developed by the CIA. If you look at the original film of the assassination in slow motion and watch the driver, then you can clearly see that he turns around with a gun in his hand, shoots, and the back of Kennedy's head bursts. The films shown in most Western countries have the driver cut out. On November 21, 1993, the German TV channel ARD sought in its program Spiegel TV in a ridiculous way to tell the viewers that there was no CIA involvement in the assassination. At almost the same time RTL showed a program claiming the opposite. Apart from the differing commentaries, both programs showed the film only once full frame. Afterwards the driver was again cut out. But in the full frame version the shooting driver and the gun were clearly visible to those who knew where to look. John Lear, the son of the founder and today owner of Lear Aircraft and once decorated as the best pilot of the U.S. Air Force, 17 world records, found three original films, for example in Japan, that he had computer analyzed and checked for authenticity. Both he and William Cooper, former member of Naval Intelligence and author of the book Behold the Pale Horse, today give lectures in the US, and they supply the original films, too, address in the list of literature. Because of this film William Cooper lost one leg when the CIA tried to assassinate him. Japanese television later showed the original footage several times during the main news. The computer analysis also allowed to recognize the weapon as a special caliber developed by the CIA. The bullet, too, was a CIA special that only exploded after entering the body and thus annihilated Kennedy's brain. The assassination was prepared by the CIA members Orlando Bosch, E. Howard Hunt, Frank Sturgis and Jack Rubinstein, aka Jack Ruby, for whose collaboration the CIA paid his huge gambling debts. Lee Harvey Oswald had also been a CIA member, but at the time of the assassination he had been working for Jack Ruby. His death had been planned. Jack Ruby shot Oswald before he could prove his innocence. Thus they had a culprit who could no longer prove the truth. The CIA hated Kennedy. In its eyes he was responsible that neither the Vietnam, the Cuban nor the UFO projects went the way the CIA wanted. When the news about Kennedy's death broke, writes a CIA operative who had also been involved in the Bay of Pigs operation, all the people in his department rose and applauded. Many of these facts has been uncovered during the special hearings by the Committee for Assassination. But according to U.S. security law they remain secret until 2029. After the hearings the CIA was prohibited from undertaking any undercover operations within the U.S. It is hard to believe that they ever followed that order. All the witnesses of the conspiracy were either killed or died of fast-growing cancer that they had injected, the deadly marksman in the car 3 weeks after the deed, for example. The official story of the Kennedy assassination, according to the report by the Warren Commission, was that Lee Harvey Oswald had been the only person responsible, and it was printed 9 hours later in all newspapers of the U.S. The true story of the CIA Committee of 300 conspiracy was never told. For good reason. You see how good it is for the Illuminati to control the news agencies. And once again a whole nation is misinformed for decades until a brave researcher takes the trouble to dig deep. His brother, Robert F. Kennedy, who stood also in the way of the Illuminati, had to die on June 5, 1968, as he was about to win the presidential elections. In this case the single attacker was Serhan Serhan. He was under the influence of a drug that was developed by the CIA especially for cases like this. To be sure that Serhan Serhan was not going to miss, one of the bodyguards of Howard Hughes fired an extra bullet that later was found in 124, Kennedy's head. As the examining magistrate found, the ballistic tests showed that the mouth of the weapon had to have been about 5 to 8 centimeters from Kennedy's head. Serhan's weapon though was never nearer that 30 centimeters. This story, too, was kept from the public. The independent publications with the CFR and the Skull and Bones Order contained this information. As Section 12 of the Protocols says, persons who oppose the plant should be brought nearer to death. Chapter 44 The Knight of Jerusalem. The English royal family has very close links with the Venerable Order of the Knights of Jerusalem, a very old order whose leader is chosen by the crown according to his abilities to head the Committee of 300. The innermost circle is the Order of the Garter. The fact that Lord Garrington, a Knight of the Garter, was once head of NATO and now is chairman of the Bilderbergers shows just how strong this order still is today. It was Lord Carrington, also of the Committee of 300, who all together with Lauren Siegelberger acted as intermediary representing Kissinger associates to make sure that in 1993 Belgrade got a free hand for ethnic cleansing and mass genocide. Louise M. Bloomfield, head of Ermindex, is also a Knight of Jerusalem. Chapter 45 What about the Vatican? By the end of World War II, most monarchs were unseated. A part of the Illuminati's plan was fulfilled. But what about Roman Catholicism? At first glance one would think that 17 centuries of stability would not easily be shaken, but a closer look showed different. The Vatican Secret Service has always been the Society of Jesus, whose members are called Jesuits. I would like to open the eyes a bit of those who believe the Jesuits were just another harmless religious organization. The initiation oath for the second degree demands the death of all Protestants and Freemasons. They were the leading force behind the massacre of the Huguenots and were also responsible for the beheading of countless Protestants and Freemasons in England during the 16th and 17th centuries. The Society of Jesus was founded in 1534 by Ignatius Loyola, who was of Jewish descent, as were the first three generals of the order. The power of the general of the Jesuits is such that he is called the Black Pope. During the Second World War, the Catholic Church was heavily infiltrated by other secret lodges. Among others those were the OSS, precursor of the CIA, the MI6, the Italian Black Nobility, Freemasons and the Peter Lodge, Propaganda Due, who all were protected by the Committee of 300. The P2 is the strongest of the Italian Masonic lodges. Within the P2 is the Great Vatican Lodge, which was at the root of the P2 scandal in 1976, when a list surfaced in the Vatican with the names and entry dates of 121 high church dignitaries, among them cardinals of the Curia, archbishops, bishops, prelates and laymen. Instead of calling these persons to account, a veritable witch hunt was instigated against those who publicized the list. No commentary necessary, right? Among the names on the list were also those of the Secretary of State Cardinal Jean Villot, the Vatican's Foreign Minister Agostino Casaroli, Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio, Cardinal Ugo Poletti and the head of the Vatican Bank, Bishop Marcinkus. 125, as stated previously, the Illuminati always supported both sides of nations engaged in war. By the end of World War II this became more evident. Alan Dulles, head of the CIA, for instance, had a secret meeting with the SS leader Jehan. They made arrangements to smuggle SS officers under the cover of the Catholic Church into Switzerland. Some SS officers took their vows and were posted in other countries, predominantly Argentina, Paraguay, and the US. After the war, it was Jahn's task to organize the station Radio Free Europe. After the war, a large section of the SS was directly taken over by the CIA. Another interesting member of the Committee of 300 was Joseph Ratzinger. After the war, the CIA supported him in making contracts with the Vatican. For instance, he won over Drive Luigi Giuda, the medical advisor of Pope Pius VII and leader of Catholic activities. With Giuda's help, he succeeded in strengthening for the future the connection with Pope Paul VI, who had already collaborated with the OSS, Office of Strategic Services. Ratzinger also met with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, the Italian Prime Minister, Sir Colin Grubin, Director of the SO, Special Operations Executive, British Secret Service, and CIA Director General Walter Bedell. Before the war, Prince Bernhard was with the SS and then held a position at IG Farben. He married Juliana, who in 1948 became Queen of the Netherlands, and he took up a post with Shell Oil. This group was the corps that met at the Hotel de Bilderberg in Oosterbeek, Holland for the first time in May 1954 and later became known as the Bilderbergers. Committee of 300 member Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands became the first director of the Bilderbergers. Explanation later. One of the CIA members with a strong influence in the Vatican was Cardinal Spellman. He helped the CIA with the overthrow of democracy in Guatemala in 1954. It was also Spellman who introduced Father Paul Marcinkus from Chicago to the Pope. In 1971, Marcinkus became Archbishop and head of the Vatican Bank. Marcinkus developed close links with Masonic P2 Lodge members Michel Sindona and Roberto Calvi. The Grand Master of the P2 was Licio Gelli. Calvi, who headed the Banco Ambrosiana, helped the Vatican to transfer more than $100 million to the Polish Solidarność movement. Later he was involved in the huge Banco Ambrosiana scandal. In 1982 his body was found hanging from the London Blackfriars Bridge. He had bricks in his left and right pockets and his legs were tied at a right angle. This a Masonic ritual murder. This peculiarity was never written about in the newspapers. Sindona became advisor to the Vatican Bank. The P2 Lodge had many links with the Vatican, Opus Dei and the CIA. Many of its members held high offices in the Italian government. In January 1966, Look magazine published the article "How Jews Changed the Thinking of the Catholic Church." The Vatican probably is the richest organization in the world. A large portion of its fortune is held by the Rothschild banks. There is no doubt that the Vatican over the years has been taken over by the Committee of 300. This also explains why Bush, Gorbachev and other leaders so often visit the Pope. This, of course, is only the tip of the Vatican iceberg. The murder of Pope John Paul II is another instance. By mistake, his obituary had been published in the Mexican daily El Informador by the West Mexican Masonic Grand Lodge of Data Early. Placed on June 3, 1963. The Pope died on June 3, 1963 at 1949 hours. An interesting book on this subject, David A. Yalip, In the Name of God. The present Pope, John Paul II, also has an interesting and noteworthy past. In his book Behold the Pale Horse, William Cooper, who has worked for 12 years for naval intelligence, writes that during the war Carol Wadgley apparently worked with IG Farben and sold gas to the Nazis. At the end of the war, for fear of being killed for collaboration, he fled to Poland, looking for the protection of the Catholic Church. There he made a development similar to that of Eisenhower, just a bit slower, and subsequently was elected Pope. By the end of World War II, this became more evident. Alan Dulles, head of the CIA, for instance, had a secret meeting with the SS leader Jahn. They made arrangements to smuggle SS officers under the cover of the Catholic Church into Switzerland. Some SS officers took their vows and were posted in other countries, predominantly Argentina, Paraguay, and the US. After the war, it was Jahn's task to organize the station Radio Free Europe. After the war, a large section of the SS was directly taken over by the CIA. Another interesting member of the Committee of 300 was Joseph Rettinger.